The Graymore Friars Monastery is located on Atonement Mountain, near Garrison, New York. Adjacent to this famous monastery, one sees St. Christopher's Inn. Homeless men from all walks of life come to this famous inn. These men are fed and sheltered by the Graymore Friars, and no distinction is ever made of race, creed, or color. You are invited to listen to another chapter of the dramatized story, The Life of Christ. Brought to you transcribed each week by the Graymore Friars, who offer this new series in the devout belief that the retelling of his tragedy and triumph will reawaken and strengthen your faith in and love of Christ. Now, Chapter 6, The Beggar at the Probatic Pool.
I will raise them up a prophet out of the midst of their brethren like to me, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And he that will not hear his words which he shall speak in my name, I will be the avenger.
Now, after Jesus had spent 2 days among the Samaritans, he departed and went into Galilee and was received by the people, many of whom had seen him cleanse the temple at Jerusalem. And he came to Cana, where he had changed the water into wine, and stopped for a while. And there was gladness in the village. But at Capernaum, 6 hours away by horse, an official looks upon the fever-racked body of a son.
How is the young master, sir?
He sleeps fitfully. The life's leaving him. Come, let's not disturb him.
I'm sorry, master, to hear this news. Is there no hope? What does the doctor say?
He says he can do no more. That my boy is in God's hands. There's nothing we can do.
Is it so hopeless?
Yes, that's what he said.
Master, as I rode back through Cana, there was great excitement. Everyone was crowding about a man.
Please, I'm not interested in what's happening in Cana while my son's dying.
Cana's excited about a man there whom they claim can work wonders.
What did you say?
Cana. Remember the stories told there of water changed to wine?
Yes, yes, I do.
Sir, that same man's come back.
Who is this man?
His name is Jesus.
Jesus is at Cana?
Yes, master.
I've heard rumors, extraordinary tales. I wonder if he could...
Master, the doctor's given up. There's no harm in trying. Perhaps the stories are true.
Can it be possible?
Let me ride to him.
No, I'll go myself. Have a horse saddled at once.
Mine is saddled and at the front door.
Good, come. Your mistress is sleeping. Watch at the boy's bedside and call her at once if there's any change.
If your wife asks about you, what shall I tell her?
Tell her I've gone to Cana to beg Jesus to cure our son.
I'll pick him up on the way back. Did you hear what they say he did here in Cana?
Please, come with me to Capernaum. My son, heal him, for he lies at the point of death.
Listen. Now we'll see something.
A miracle, perhaps.
Come. Jesus speaks to us.
Unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe.
Sir, come before my child dies.
Go thy way.
Master.
Thy son lives.
Lad, he's gone. No, he's breathing.
Awaken the mistress. The fever's broken. Tell her the boy's going to live. Send somebody to the boy at once. I'm riding to Cana to tell our master.
Doing here?
I rode to give the news of your son. Master, he will live. The fever's left him.
Oh, thanks be to God. Servant, did you notice at what hour the fever left him?
Yesterday, at the seventh hour.
At that hour, I was at Cana before Jesus. And he said to me, go thy way. Thy son lives.
This was the second sign that Jesus worked when coming from Judea into Galilee. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. North of the temple at Jerusalem, near the Probatic Gate, is a pool of water. And of this pool, it was claimed that an angel came down and stirred the water. And the first to go into the pool after this stirring was cured of whatever infirmity he had. Because of this, around the pool was a great multitude of the sick, blind, lame, and those with shriveled limbs.
Have pity on the blind.
Have mercy on the lame.
Help me. Help me. Won't someone please help me to the pool? Don't pass me by, kind sir.
Dost thou want to get well?
Sir, 38 years have I come to the pool hoping for a chance to be cured. But, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. For while I am coming, another steps down before me.
Rise. Take up thy pallet and walk.
Here, beggar, take up thy pallet and walk.
Wait! Look. My arm, I can raise it. I can get to my knees. I'm standing. I'm going to try a step. I can walk. I can walk again. He told me to walk. He told me to. He's gone. Where did he go?
must find him. I must find that man.
One moment.
Yes, Rabbi.
What are you doing with that pallet?
Please, I'm trying to find the man who cured me. I wish to thank him.
Why are you running through the street with that pallet? Don't you know it's the Sabbath?
Oh, Rabbi, I forgot. You see, I was overjoyed.
And did you forget that of the 39 works you're forbidden to do on the Sabbath, one specifically mentioned is carrying a burden from one place to another?
But he told me to take my pallet.
Don't you know anything not regarded as clothing is a burden?
But, Rabbi, don't you recognize me?
You do seem familiar.
You've seen me many times. For 38 years I've lain near the pool. Now I'm able to walk.
Yes. Yes, of course. How is it you're walking and carrying a bundle on the Sabbath?
I'm trying to tell you. This man came to me. He asked me if I wanted to become well. Then he told me to take up my pallet and walk. I did. You see, I can walk.
Who is this man?
Oh, I don't know. I never saw him before. I was so overjoyed when I turned about, he had slipped away into the crowd. Now I must find him and pour out my gratitude.
You know the law. Once you've been ill, you must offer a sacrifice and be declared clean by the priest.
Yes, Rabbi, I'll go at once.
Just a moment. Can you describe this man who persuaded you to break the Sabbath?
No, but from his dress and accent, I judge him to be a Galilean.
A Galilean, you say?
That's the only description I can give.
Should you see him again, come at once to the temple and report where he can be found.
The beggar concealed his pallet and went to the temple. And the place was thronged with people to celebrate the festival and to offer their gifts. And he saw Jesus standing alone and went to him. Jesus spoke, "Behold, thou art cured. Sin no more, lest something worse befall you."
But, Master, come back. The rabbis want to speak with you.
He was standing right over there. I tried to thank him, but he seemed not to wish it. He spoke briefly to me and moved away.
Was his name Jesus?
I don't know that. Wait. There he is.
Where?
Over there by the third column.
Yes, I see him. All right, you can go now. But mind you, don't spread the word of this cure about. You understand?
Yes, I understand.
Rabbi, he's the same one, Jesus, who disrupted the outer temple at the Passover.
This time we can charge him. He commanded the beggar to violate the Sabbath.
Come, let us question him. The fellow likes to talk, so encourage him. He may say something that will involve him deeper. Jesus of Galilee, what is this? You come to Jerusalem for the feast. Are men of Galilee so ignorant of the law that they can tell a man to carry his bundle on the Sabbath?
My Father works even until now, and I work.
Mark well that answer.
He speaks of his Father as if he were God. He is making himself equal to God.
Amen, amen, I say to you. The Son can do nothing of himself, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, this the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all that he himself does, and greater works than these he will show him, that you may wonder. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he will. For neither does the Father judge any man, but all judgment he has given to the Son, that all men may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him.
This is blasphemy.
Wait. We must let him speak. Let us hear all.
Amen, amen, I say to you. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has life everlasting and does not come to judgment, but is passed from death to life.
He speaks of life and death as if it was his to give.
Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is here, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, even so he has given to the Son also to have life in himself, and he has granted him power to render judgment, because he is the Son of man. Do not wonder at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear the voice of the Son of God.
Stop him, I can't listen to this.
Quiet, let him speak.
And they who have done good shall come forth unto resurrection of life, but they who have done evil unto resurrection of judgment. Of myself I can do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Who did send you? Are you the one of whom John the Baptist spoke?
If I bear witness concerning myself, my witness is not true.
Well spoken.
There is another who bears witness concerning me, and I know that the witness that he bears concerning me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth.
John denied that he was a prophet or the Messiah.
I, however, do not receive the witness of man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the lamp burning and shining, and you desired to rejoice for a while in his light. The witness, however, that I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, these very works that I do, bear witness to me that the Father has sent me.
He speaks of work on the Sabbath, though, unholy, unholy.
And the Father himself who has sent me has borne witness to me. But you have never heard his voice or seen his face, and you have not his word abiding in you, since you do not believe him whom he sent. You search the Scriptures, because in them you think that you have life everlasting. And it is they that bear witness to me. Yet you are not willing to come to me that you may have life.
Now you mock our learning and say we have no knowledge of the Scriptures and the law. And yet you would seek out men to listen to you teach.
I do not receive my glory from men, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I come in the name of my Father, and you do not receive me. If another come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory which is from the only God?
And now this Sabbath breaker charges us with disbelief.
Oh, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you. Moses, in whom you hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me also. For he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, How will you believe my words?
Don't let him get away. Call the guards. Arrest him.
No, don't. Not yet.
But why? Why not?
We must wait and get a better case on which to try him.
But more is needed. He broke the Sabbath.
He can claim it was not he, but the beggar who did that. We want a more serious charge.
He blasphemed. He made himself equal to God.
Yes, yes. But let us not be too hasty.
What is to be done? We can't have him walking about Jerusalem and talking to people as he did to us.
Perhaps he will move on.
Ah, if only Herod Antipas would deal with him as he did with John the Baptist.
You may be sure that he will if he stirs up trouble in Galilee.
And let him know he's being watched in Judea and drive him into Galilee. We can send word to Herod that he's a troublemaker, as we did in John's case, and let him deal with Jesus.
That's the best way to handle it. Should he turn up here again, we'll pin him down to a charge. One that will carry a death penalty.
We must get by the procurator. We can't put any man to death without permission from Pilate.
I'm sure the high priest will know how to get around Pilate.
Pilate. He cares nothing for our Sabbath or our law.
But he does live in fear of Caesar. Suppose you were to inform him this man's stirring up trouble and refuses to acknowledge Caesar's authority.
Ah, yes. Then Pilate would have to act.
So we wait. We bide our time. We may be sure one day he will overstep himself. And when he does, we'll put him out of the way.
And this is why the Jewish officials kept persecuting Jesus. Because he not only broke the Sabbath, but made himself equal to God. They, learned as they were in Scripture, believed not the word of Jesus or of Moses, who wrote,
I will raise them up a prophet out of the midst of their brethren, like to thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And he that will not hear his words, which he shall speak in my name, I will be the avenger.